Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I'm an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com. and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie, and I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oil sometimes.
Hello, this is Bob J. Gale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot, with a tight illustrative hand in watercolor, tin and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. And here we are again. This is Clyde J. Kell, and you are listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 184 for January the 30th, our last episode for the month of January 2023. And I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Brosnan. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, Clyde.
Hello, Constance.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the podcast. For our listeners, please visit www.talkartpodcast.com, talkartpodcast.com, and there's some information videos there, quite a bit of material. We're going to discuss what is the Renaissance, the Italian word that came about the Renaissance was Rinascita, you know, but most people, when you say the Renaissance, if they ever heard of it, they think about the art, you know, all the art from the Middle Ages, from the 14th and 15th, 16th, 17th centuries. And, but a lot of the other stuff with the Renaissance was these videos explain that basically our society today exist because of the Renaissance. Things that we use on a daily basis that we don't even think about it. It came about because of the Renaissance, because before the Renaissance, they didn't exist. I'll give you an example. For centuries, we've always had mirrors and concave mirrors. But before the Renaissance, they didn't exist. There was mirrors, but it was so, they were just polished metal and so blurry that you really couldn't distinctly see your features. But then the improvements in glass making and other materials, and because of the Renaissance, mirrors all of a sudden became effective. And of course that worked out for artists. That's why if you look back through a lot of the artwork, there's a lot of artists that did a lot of self-portraits, because they had that crystal clear mirror. They could see themselves clearly. Another item that we use on a regular basis and don't even think about it is a watch, timekeeping devices. It didn't exist then. They had their sundials and whatnot, but the actual, geometrical timing, like the Greenwich Mean Time, which is a time standards throughout the world, That didn't exist until the Renaissance. And of course, a lot of the seagoing vessels and sailors heavily depended on knowing the proper time when they measured the stars to see where they were navigating to. So lots of things that which we just kind of take for granted every day came about because of the Renaissance. And of course, the big thing that a lot of most people do know about, they don't know it came about because of the Renaissance, but they've heard of it. You know, they've heard of the Gutenberg Bible, the printing press. And at its time, the printing press became kind of like social media, the distribution of information of all kinds, military propaganda, religious propaganda, and newspapers and notices and flyers and whatnot. When it became fully adapted throughout Europe, that changed the world too. So Diane, I understand you didn't get a chance to watch all the videos. What about that first video, the little short one? Anything stick out in your mind that you kind of?
Well, I mean, the whole Renaissance time period another word for it is rebirth. And that's kind of what it was like. Everything, they had gone through the Dark Ages, so everything was kind of being reborn, and there was all this money flowing into the city, and people were willing to pay all the artists and, you know, all architects and all the different kinds of arts. So it was like I was just thinking about that when I was watching this, that if somebody took care of all my bills and everything for me, you know, my mind would be empty. You know, it would have the space to think about all these other things that I would like to do.
And, yeah, that's true.
You know, if you're not worrying about having the bills to, you know, to pay your bills and having to make a certain amount of money every month, and you have all that stuff taken care of for you. I mean, you know, today I was thinking, like, all the artists today, if they had all that happen, there were so many things that would come out because people had time and their space in their heads to think about all this stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and invent things and, you know, do all these different things. So it's just, it was a time period where there was so much wealth that, and they were so willing to, you know, spread it with all the architects and artists and all that. It's just flourished, you know, that whole area flourished.
Yeah, and the wealth came about because of the banking system. The Medici mm-hmm. Invented the, you know, double entry bookkeeping was invented, which allowed for the creation of a banking system, you know, with the, they had was like traveler's checks, you know, where people mm-hmm. could pay with credit, you know, and so that allowed for further wealth, you know, and it was, it's interesting. Yeah. In Italian, you know, the Rinascita means, you know, rebirth. In one sense, it was a rebirth because a lot of ancient mathematical and ancient knowledge was lost because the Romans and the Greeks had pretty much developed very sophisticated architecture and systems. And then the barbarians, you know, when the Roman Empire fell, that's why they called the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages. And they just went and destroyed everything.
And this makes your heart hurt when you hear about that, doesn't it? And all that art and those statues and things being demolished.
There was something that we take for granted, another thing we take for granted, and the Romans did it, had it, and a system of plumbing, a system of bringing
aqueducts and all that, yeah. Yeah,
bringing water into the actual homes. Whenever I had visited a couple times Herculaneum, which is a village that was covered by, you know, the Vesuvius eruption, like Pompeii. Well, Herculaneum, along the street were these pipes. They were terracotta pipes. And I thought it was something modern day thing, you know, and then I later read online. No, those were from the Roman time. They actually had water being pumped into the homes. And there was pipes going up the side of a building.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
I mean, so they had apartment buildings, you know, that were four stories high, five stories high, you know, and there was just the the structure was there, but you know, the roofs were gone and everything, but the pipes were going up the side of the building. I mean, that was like,
that's pretty cool.
You know, so we didn't get actually in-home plumbing until in the late 1800s, you know. So that that concept, that idea was lost, you know, with the barbarians, you know, and everything. So there was just so much that had been been destroyed that that's why they called it the Dark Ages. So this was a rebirth and rebirth in art and architecture and scientific, you know, study and there was just so much flourishing of knowledge and everything. And there was even medical, because it was a bad thing, you know, when a black plague hit Europe, and they said that 3/4 of Europe died of the black plague, the population died, but it increased medical study because, you know, it was before that, for a doctor to learn about anatomy, you know, and everything, you know, it was hard, but then they, you know, had so many, it's gruesome to say, they had so many dead bodies that doctors were able to, you know, study anatomy, and even artists. There's evidence that Leonardo da Vinci, you know, drawings, he studied a corpse. So yeah, they studied, you know, bodies. So, and then in fighting the bubonic plague and the Black Death, there was medical achievements, you know, in the medicines. So they learned about cleanliness and how to clean, you know, properly, and so many things that we owe to the Renaissance period, other than just art. The art is wonderful, but all the other stuff I think was magnificent. Constance, what did you think about that, these videos?
I thought, you know, because it was more than just the art, but it was also, it really hurt me when the barbarians tore everything up, you know, because anytime you see people getting rid of art because of some social climate, it's kind of, you think about that artist who made that stuff, it's just really sad, you know, that it doesn't just live on. But also, like you said, all the advancements that were made, Leonardo da Vinci, his, you know, mechanical workings and drawings, some things didn't work out as planned, but then you don't know until you try that stuff whether it's going to fly or not, you know what I'm saying? Just because you have these ideas in your head, you're able to get them out on paper, and they took care of him so he could do this stuff, you know, which was great, you know.
Yeah. They said he really didn't like to paint, but that's how he paid for, so he could do his other stuff. So he could do research. That's how he lived. He sold his paint and did a painting once in a while, and took on commissions, you know.
Well, yeah, and did the cathedral. That was a long thing for him to do, but still, you know, it was an achievement, you know.
And of course, you know, Michelangelo, you know, is with being the architect, not just a painter and a sculptor, but being the architect of St. Peter's, you know, the largest Catholic church in the world. You know, he was a designer, the designer of the dome, you know, and up until that time. They found monuments, and they found in ancient Rome buildings, but they didn't know how to duplicate it. They didn't have, you know, that knowledge was lost, and Michelangelo, rediscovered it, you know,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, these people were true. And
the Statue of David. I've seen the Statue of David, and I have to tell you, that thing is exquisite. Yeah, I know that people are very prudish about seeing naked people in sculptures, but you have to just stand in front of it and look at it and just see that, you know, he just took a big old chunk of Carrara marble and just made this wonderful, beautiful statue that is still today, you know, everybody just loves to see it because it's just so magnificent, you know.
And if you get a chance to watch that third video, I really like that guy, Waldemir or whatever. I'm not, he has a Polish name, but he's English.
He's very English.
A few documentaries, and he he brings up something up, which I thought was really interesting. He said, you know, all the sculptors of the Renaissance, they were impressed by at the same period or a few years earlier, you know, ancient statues were being recovered from Pompeii and Herculaneum and were being dug up and discovered, and they were all shiny white. And so they went to the Carrara, you know, marble, you know, field and you know, made sure all their statues were, they were trying to emulate, you know, and were all shiny white, but said, actually, he says, they were fooled because modern day, you know, scholars have discovered that the ancient statues were all painted.
Yeah.
They were painted in baldy colors. They were,
yeah.
Paint didn't last, you know, the paint came off. And so, you know, and reminded me of, we had watched a video sometime last year when it was talking about that one museum curator who had a bunch of statues from Greece, and he went and they had remnants of paint on them, and he went and had them all cleaned and
clean.
Made, you know, and he was ruining the statue.
Yeah, he was stripping them down. It wasn't how they had them back then. They had them painted. So, but still, they're still beautiful, even just being, you know, plain without paint. And I think it's easier for me to think about how you can see this, see the beauty of the sculpture itself, you know.
I have always wished that the first time I find out somebody has invented a time machine, I'm going to be the first one in line to use it. I would love to go back in that, in, you know, in that time period and be able to, you know, see the things. As, and there might be a few, I might be disappointed too, because, you know, history, we, you know, experts claim this or that, but it may not be that. Then, you know, they say, well, you know, this artist was thinking about the, you know, life and mortality. When you go back, you find out, no, he was just a smartass. He just wanted to, he just wanted to make everybody think, yeah, or whatever, yeah, do something weird, you know.
You know, you wonder if they don't just do like we do. They're just trying to make a beautiful painting, and you know, instead of reading all this other extra stuff into it, you know, why he did it this way or that way or whatever, you know, unless they've come up on notes that go with the paintings. So, you know, mainly nowadays, I don't think about putting little things in the painting that make it a message. You know, I just want to have a nice composition that comes off as a beautiful painting, you know, so,
yeah. The Renaissance painters were very much in, and in fact, while it was called a rebirth or an age of enlightenment, the actual, you know, the artists were actually hammering and pointing out things of ancient times that weren't so, you know, so enlightening, you know, they were presenting prejudice and other things that, which, were supposed to be done away with the Enlightenment, and they were clearly in their, you know, in their paintings, especially with regards to, you know, the females and males. And I like in that he talks about one of the paintings, I forget the art, in the Garden of Eden, you know, he said the first man and first woman. And then he says it's exquisite, except for they have a fig leaf, you know, covering the private parts. But he says, really, you know, of course, you know, the Bible says, you know, because of Eve ate of forbidden fruit was why they were kicked out of the garden. But he says, when you look at this painting, I think the artist's expression is when a naked man sees a naked woman and a naked woman sees a naked man, something's going to happen.
That's funny.
I love when he said that. That's probably why they got kicked out of the gardens. And look, they're the same way. Because and it was true.
Well, they didn't realize they were naked until they ate of the fruit of knowledge. You know, that's what it was called. But yeah.
Yeah. But when he was talking, yeah. And of course, he was talking about the animals and the serpents. And, you know, so and then, of course, you know, he brought up Hieronymus Bosch, you know, our favorite, you know. And he said, you know, for centuries. You know, scholars have thought Hieronymus Bosch, you know, thought Bosch took drugs when he created all those weird paintings. You know, he took the 15th century version of LSD, you know. But he said, when you really seriously look at the paintings and everything, he was a profound religious man, and he was very much pessimistic about society. He said he did not like what was going on. And he said that was a motivation for his paintings, you know. He says, especially, you know, you got the Garden of Eden, and then in the middle you got this elaborate swimming pool with all kinds of naked people, things going on. He says, you can see. He says, then you have the third panel, you know, and with the vision of hell. He says, if that doesn't make you want to turn straight, straighten your life up, nothing will. It's a pretty mean looking, you know, weird creatures eating people. And
you know, so. I'll tell you what, I read the Bible through a couple of times, but the first time I read it through, after reading it through, I decided that there is no way I won't go to hell. Well, that's because, you know, it's pretty descriptive in there when you read about, you know, so it's yeah. Also about Wes's, he was talking about what I found very curious. He was talking about all the paintings with the Madonna and then with the Madonna with the baby, yeah. You know, and how they weren't very good at painting babies. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was funny. He said, all the babies are ugly, you know.
They're very chubby little chunky children, you know.
Mary, you know, is so beautiful and shiny, you know, and such beautiful expressions on her face. But the babies, when you look at the babies, they're all ugly, you know.
They probably didn't have very many models, you know.
Probably not, yeah.
That would hold still.
Yeah.
Yeah. That they were trying to express something that has not been seen, you know, and
right.
The Christ child, you know. So it was really to take a concept and put it into reality. He said that, you know, it was actually rather difficult, you know. So, mm-hmm. You know, and it was very, I enjoy that guy, you know, quite a bit. I like his videos all the time. He always, you know, comes up with some of the funniest things, you know, to say, you know, about the different kinds of art, you know. Okay, we want to add any more about the what the Renaissance is for our listeners. I recommend you go to www.talkartpodcast.com, talkartpodcast.com, and if you only have time for that first video, it's only 8 minutes long, and it gives a really nice explanation as to what is the Renaissance. And then the other videos go into more details. Want to add any more to this?
No, you got it.
It's pretty much covered it.
Yep, we covered it enough. All right. Then you have been listening to the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 184 for January the 30th, 2023. My name is Clyde J. Kale, and I'm here with Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and I'll say good night.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Constance. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Diane. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. I do want to mention one thing. I am still having a sale for February to the 15th in my Etsy store. So all I really have to do is just type in my name, and you can get a link to go to the store. It's Constance Brosnan. So.
Excellent. I highly recommend you folks check that out. She's a working artist. She needs some money. Plus, you get some really beautiful works of art and beautiful artistic handmade jewelry. With that, let's say good night, and we'll see you next time.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and Clyde J. Kale. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at
www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.